I'm excited about what's going on in China. That was awesome, awesome what's happening. And the Lord spoke about that. Well, I'm excited to be able to have the opportunity to share with you guys. I think it was about 2 months ago, I think it was March, the Lord began to speak to me and he gave me this word. And so let's pray and then we'll start. Father, I just thank you for this word. I ask that you would bless it and that you would use it to bring you glory and to also take us further in our understanding and revelation knowledge of you and what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Judges chapter 7. We're going to talk about Gideon and his 300. And I really felt like this was a word that the Lord gave to me. I think it was in March. He began to talk to me about Gideon and his 300. And the way that God's army that he chose, the way he chose to deliver his people. And the Lord was so awesome. He takes this weak man and this small group of soldiers, and he defeats the enemy and delivers a nation. And he did it in such a way that nobody could take the glory but God. Wow, man, that just spoke to me. And I really thought also, too, you know, the Lord gives me this word, but the timing of the delivery is great because I don't know about you guys, but this weekend the Avengers came out. Woohoo! Man, you know, it opened in the movie theaters as I'm preparing my sermon. You know, we all love the superhero, right? And especially the superhero with supernatural powers that's, you know, I don't know whose car that is, but Lord help him. But anyway, we love those superheroes with supernatural power that enable us to overcome insurmountable odds. But I want to talk a little bit. First, I want to do a little overview of chapter 6 before we jump into chapter 7 to just say that what we're talking about here is not a guy who's been hit with gamma rays, okay? This guy is not like super strong from an iron suit. His DNA hasn't been alternated or changed genetically in any way to make him strong. No, this guy is afraid. And in chapter 6, we see the call of Gideon. And basically, let me just say this. Israel had sinned against God. And because of this, the army oppressed them. They were literally starving. They were so oppressed. And God, in his mercy, calls forth a warrior, and his name is Gideon. And he finds Gideon hiding in the, you know, in the wine press. And basically, he's working on his food, and he's hiding because he doesn't want his food stolen. And in this place of hiding, the Lord appears to him, an angel of the Lord, and he says three things to Gideon. He says, first, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And second, he says, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And the Midianites were the enemy of Israel, and they were the ones oppressing him. And he says, did I not send you? And then third, he said, I will be with you, and you will strike the Midianites as one man. Now, you got to picture this, okay? So an angel of the Lord shows up. You're hiding from the enemy, scared to death. Oh, mighty man of valor. And you know what Gideon's response was? Yes, God, I agree with you. No, not at all. That was not his response. As a matter of fact, Gideon responds in total unbelief. First, he says, wait a minute. I don't think you understand the situation here. Like, seriously, we are under it. We're under it right now. I don't think you get what's going on. You know, we heard God was strong. We know he's done miracles in Egypt. But it even said in verse 12 in chapter 6, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Now, I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there, right? I've been there. You know what I'm saying? Hello, God. You told me you provide, but I don't know. Have you seen the bank account? You know, hello, God. I know that you're a healer, but I don't know if you saw the doctor's report. You know, hello, God, I know you're with me, but guess what? I just got laid off. And God, you're going to save me. I don't know if you realize how much sin is in my life. God, you know, I don't know if you get what you're saying here, because the situation and the circumstances just don't bear out on this. And I don't know about you, but aren't you so glad that your circumstances don't determine who God is? Wow, am I excited about that? My circumstances don't determine who God is. It says in the Bible, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and today. He's the same. He hasn't changed. Yeah, you know, the God who parted the Red Sea and made a way for Moses and all of Israel, guess what? He's the same. He hasn't changed. And it's important for us to know this unchanging God that we're actually worshiping, that we worship this morning, because our hope is in him, his nature and his character and his ability to do things. And our faith is anchored in a person. I always tell people, hey, don't have faith in faith. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. No, man, our faith is actually anchored in a person. Our faith is anchored in someone who doesn't change. And your circumstances won't change the reality of who God is. And the other way Gideon responds, which is so funny to the calling of God, he goes, this is so, I can bear witness to this. That's why I'm laughing. I don't think you know who I am. Like, God calls him, hey, mighty man of valor, I'm calling you to deliver my people. He goes, excuse me, I don't think you know who I am. I don't think you get it here. And he says in chapter 6, verse 15, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house. I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but I know I have. You're asking me to do what, God? I don't think you know who I am. I'm not this person you're asking. I mean, this is, you know, and the truth is, when I look at God and I say, I can't do this, then I have this thought immediately come to me. Yeah, that's right, you can't. Because it says in the Bible, apart from him, you can do nothing. And I remember the first mission trip I ever took, I had had a dream that I was supposed to go on this trip to Cambodia, and I'd never been on a mission trip. Now, mind you, my husband had been on all these mission trips. He even took a team from our church at the time to Russia, but I didn't go because I was afraid. I said, oh, I can't go. I can't do that. That's not me. That's you. Here I am, God, send Stu. You know, I mean, like, that's me, right? I was afraid, and I didn't go. And then I remember I told Stuart, I had this dream. I think I'm supposed to go to Cambodia. And he goes, honey, it's the Lord, and it's time for you to go. And I looked at him. I go, well, I don't know. I don't know. And my daughter at the time was like 14. She's like, Mom, it's your, I've already gone. You need to go. And my own daughter had already gone overseas. I hadn't done it as I was afraid. And then finally I agreed, and Stuart took me to the airport. Guess what? No team. I'm by myself, going with the pastor and his assistant. And I am mad. I'm looking at Stuart, don't you love me? How could you put me on a plane to Cambodia by myself? How could you do this to your wife? He's like, honey, you're staying in a hotel. There is a couple that's going to meet you there, another woman. You're not going to be alone. It's going to be okay. You know, I'm on the plane. Thank God I had a 14-hour plane ride. I processed. I forgave him for what he did to me. You know, getting ready for the mission trip. And it was on that trip the Lord woke me up 3 nights in a row and told me, you're going to Africa. And I came home and I looked at Stuart and I said, would you go to Africa with me? And he said, who are you and what happened to my wife? But I mean, basically, the Lord was looking at me and he's saying, okay, you're going to go. And I'm like, don't you know who I am? I'm Kathy. I'm just afraid. But this is so comforting to me. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, and God chooses what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And that was me, man, weak. You know, even Billy Graham, one time a reporter went to him and said, you know, there's a lot of speakers that are better than you are. Why do you think God chose you? And he said, you know, that's the first question I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven. Why did you choose me? Because Billy, we see him one way, but he knows who he is. And we all do that. We all feel like Gideon when we're called by God. Don't you know who I am? And aren't you glad that God doesn't see you the way you see you? I mean, praise God. You're his child. He created in you in his image. He wants the best for you. He sees you as extremely valuable. And I always tell people that you're worthy because Jesus said so. And he sees you as valuable. He doesn't see you the way other people see you. He doesn't see you the way you see yourself. He says that you're valuable. You know that you cannot send the most precious thing you have to die for something that's worthless. No, that's how valuable you are, that Jesus died for you. He chose you. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So you will ask in my name and the Father will give it to you. God will view, he views your usefulness in the kingdom in a very different way than you view yourself. Praise God. So, you know, when we are looking, okay, let's see, talent, influence, is he a great speaker, how educated is he, you know, is he one of the beautiful people, you know, this is the way the world picks things, this is the way sometimes we even do it, but God is not looking for that. God's looking for a broken vessel yielded to him. That's what he's looking for. I used to say this all the time, you know, Catherine Coleman, she used to have this phrase, God's not looking for golden vessels. But you kind of have to do it like her. God is not looking for golden vessels. He's not looking for silver vessels. And she'd have this long flowing gown. But he's looking for yielded vessels. And that's what he's looking for. And, you know, that's one of the things we all do, right? That here God's choosing Gideon, this fearful, stubborn, unbelieving at times man, and to deliver his people. And you know what that means as I read this? There's hope for all of us. You know, here's God choosing Gideon. So God calls Gideon in chapter 6, and he puts him through a few tests. And now here we are in Judges 7, and this is the second part of his dealing with Gideon, and we're going to read through this. And it's here we see the humility in Gideon. There's lessons for us in this chapter as we attempt to obey God's voice. And he's going to do a series of things in this chapter that will just blow your mind. I mean, it's a strategy I've never seen before in my whole life, and it makes no sense. And I'm like, why, God, why would you do something like this? And I love it because it proves that he can do anything he wants. He can do it. If he wants to do something, he will accomplish it. And verse 1 through 3, let's go there, and we're going to read through this chapter together. Are you guys there? You with me? Okay. Then, now, I'm you know, if I butcher these names, please forgive me. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was north of them by the hill in Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead. Then 22,000 of the people returned, and only 10,000 remained. Okay, first of all, I'm not sure. I don't know where you would have been. Would you have been in the 10 or the 22? Like, for me, I think I would have just left at this point because I'm not sure I would have made it even just past this point. So, and then also, can you imagine how Gideon felt? 22,000 people leave, you know, showing just a vote of confidence in his leadership. But anyway, so they walk out. But, you know, again, do you want to go into battle with someone who's fearful? I mean, they might as well. Okay, go home. That's fine. And then, I don't know, maybe Gideon at that point is kind of looking over the army, right? So at this point, he still has 10,000. Not bad. So he still has 10,000. He's thinking, okay, 13-1, we can do this. All right, 13-1, we can do this. God's with us, we can do this. But no, it gets worse. Okay, let's go to chapter 4. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you. I will test them for you there. And anyone whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And anyone whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as dogs lap, you shall set by himself. And likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink, and the number of those who lapped up, putting their heads, hands to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. And let all the others go, every man to his home. So the people took provision in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and only retained 300 men, and then the camp of the Midian was below him in the valley. Now, I'll just stop there real quick. There's different theories as to why the guys who lapped up water versus the one who bent down, but personally, I just think God knew exactly what the number would be, and that's how he decided to do it. I don't know about you, but if you were the one that actually bent down and drank up the water and then had to go home, maybe you'd be rejoicing. Like, praise God, we don't have to do that. You know, he chose us, we get to go home. You know, I don't know, but some people might think, well, that was good. Thank you, Lord. But think about Gideon. This is the thing that gets me. Gideon, at this point, there is no way for him to be successful. None whatsoever. There's no way for him to be successful. None. There is no confidence at this point in the flesh. None. He can't have any confidence in his own flesh. And guess what? That's right where God wanted him to be. That's right where God wanted him to be. I don't know about you, but are you in that situation right now? I mean, are you in a situation where there's nothing in you and your ability to be able to save yourself, let alone deliver yourself, let alone make something happen? But you know what? Guess what? You're right where God wants you. Total dependence on him. Total dependence on him. And God does this to us, doesn't he? He brings us through these situations where we don't have any ability to actually deliver ourselves anymore. And now we're totally dependent on him. It's so awesome. It's good. Verse 9, let's go there. That same night the Lord said to him, arise, go down again against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. But if you're afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. And then he went with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance. And their camels were without number as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. I mean, like, whoa, how intimidating is that? And then when Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. Okay, these guys are sitting around. Gideon sneaks down in there, and he overhears this. And he said, behold, I had a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned upside down so that the tent lay flat. And his commander answered, there is no other than the sword of Gideon, This is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hands Midian and all the camp. What? We're not going to talk about dream interpretation through this sermon. But I don't, you know, we could go into that, you know, of how, what every part of this dream and what it prophetically means. But we're not going to go there right now. But as soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, what did he do? It says he worshiped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given us the host of Midian into our hands." All right, so the first thing in this section that we see, of course, is Gideon's still afraid. And why not? Why wouldn't he be afraid? Of course he's afraid. He's got an army in the valley like the sea, you know, like sand on the seashore. That's how vast they are, rising up against him and the Lord. And so he's still afraid. And what does God do in the midst of Gideon being afraid? He strengthens him. He encourages him with a prophetic dream. He encourages him with a prophetic word. And that's what God does for all of us. He encourages us in the midst of an insurmountable army, in the midst of insurmountable odds, and things are completely stacked against us. He comes with his prophetic word, and he encourages us. And I love that about God. He comes with the written word, which is the Greek, the logos. He comes with the rhema, the now word, which is the word he just speaks to our heart. He puts courage in us. When we're fearful and we're lacking courage, God will come and say, "Listen, mighty man of valor, mighty woman of valor." And he'll release the prophetic and he'll encourage us and put courage back in us. Amen. And I love that. Apostle Paul told his spiritual son Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:8, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." So not only do we have the prophetic promises of God, but we also have personal prophetic words. And it's by them that we're going to wage war. It's by them that we're going to declare, "I don't think so, because God said this. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me." Man, I have not been able to get this song off my mind. But, you know, anyway, I'm telling you, he gives us those words to build faith and encourage us again to keep going forward. To keep moving forward, to keep going for the destiny and the purpose and the things that God's called us to. Amen? I love that. That's what God's doing even with this community. Chad came, released a prophetic word. God is saying, "Look, I've called you, Blessed International. I put destiny over you, and I'm moving you forward." It's so awesome. So don't lose faith in the midst of what looks impossible, okay? Jesus said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." All things are possible. And, you know, Gideon's response when he heard the dream, I love his response because he worshiped. When he got the prophetic word, he didn't respond, yeah, but I don't, no, he worshiped the Lord. And that needs to be our response. When we put our confidence in God, it'll always lead to worship. And we have to worship the Lord. And I recently, Stuart and I went back to this restaurant called Cinnamon Productions, and we call it CP. And it's a very, you know, special place for us because it's there that we have our CP pancake breakfast. And we split it. And so we can eat for about $4 each. And it means a lot to us because there was a point where we were living at my brother's house and we were renting a room. And we came home one day and he said, "We sold the house. You have to be out in 30 days. And we didn't have any money. We had $7.50. And, you know, my response, you know, was full of faith, not And I just started crying. What are we gonna do? We have no place to go. Full of faith, woman of God. And Stuart goes, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna take our last $7.50 and we're gonna go to CP and we're gonna have a pancake breakfast. And we're gonna celebrate what God is about to do. And I'm like, okay. So we go there and cut my pancake. And I'm not a happy camper, okay? I'm eating my pancake, you know, but I'm not happy. And Stuart's like, oh, Lord, we just praise you for what you're about to do. And I'm just wanting to slap him, you know. It's just something in me. But I'm holding back. Do you know, within 5 days, we got a phone call, and our friends were moving to St. Louis, Missouri, and they said, hey, could you guys come and house sit for us for 1 year and not pay any rent? Free rent! And I said, we can do that. God, I worship you. You're so good. Now, I wasn't there last week, but he's working with me, right? So then we move in, and they said, you know, we don't feel like you're supposed to pay utilities either, so we're just going to pay it for a whole year. Yeah, what's impossible with man is possible with God. And, you know, we can all avoid a lot of hassles and a lot of fear if we will just stop, hear God's voice, obey, and worship him for what he's about to do. And I really feel like that. We, as a congregation, we need to worship the Lord for what he's about to do in our midst and celebrate what he's about to do in our own lives. And go to verse 16 in Judges 7. It says, goes on, it says, he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets in the hands of all of them, and empty jars with torches inside. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. And when I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. So Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just set watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. And then 300 company blew the trumpet, broke the jars, and they held their left hand the torches, and on the right hand the trumpets blew, and they cried out for the sword of the Lord and for Gideon. And every man stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran, and they cried out and fled. And when they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army, and the army fled. Okay, I don't know about you, but that is a total crazy strategy for defeating an enemy. I mean, that to me was like, wow. I mean, sometimes this happens, right? I mean, who wouldn't, I mean, you crash, you blow a trumpet, and then 300 guys all turn and kill each other. Like, what is going on here? You're like, this is crazy. And it just hit me. Has the Lord ever asked you to do something kind of crazy? She has. I mean, there are times when God's going to call you to do these things, and not just for this, you know, don't be crazy for the sake of being crazy, okay? We don't need that. We don't need that. But sometimes God calls us to do things at a time and in a moment that makes no sense. It seems crazy. You know, it's the thing all the relatives say, well, I don't know about this. I remember when I felt like the Lord told me to homeschool my daughter. My whole family was against it. I mean, back then, you know, nobody was homeschooling. It wasn't even popular. And I remember my parents were getting on my case. You're going to socially warp this kid. We've seen the videos of children like this. They're dysfunctional. They're not socially inept. You know, they're socially inept. And so it was like this huge thing that I was going to homeschool. You know, now it's like, yeah, I'm homeschooling. Everybody's good with it, you know. Somebody has to forerun this, right? And so sometimes you get asked to do crazy things. Even recently, the trip to South Korea. Pastor Jeff hurt his shoulders. He puts out this notice to all these people. Hey, this is last minute. You got to leave in the next 5 days, you know, 6 days. And let me know if you're willing to go and do a five-day conference with 11 meetings. Okay. So I immediately get this and like, that was my response. What? Come on. You're just now sending this out? But it was a last-minute thing, right? So I'm sitting there. I'm looking at the text. I immediately have a vision of myself standing in South Korea. I'm like, no. I just got back from Puerto Rico. I can't do that. No. I tell my husband. He's like, yeah. I think that. I'm like, no. I just got back from Puerto Rico. Besides, honey, I travel with you. I haven't traveled alone. I can't do this. He's like, excuse me, how old are you? And then every morning, I kept waking up to the song, "You Make Me Brave, You Make Me Brave. You call me out beyond the shores into the wave." And I'm like, no, that's not me. It's like, but anyway, I finally couldn't take it anymore. I'm like, I think this is the Lord. And I am like, really, you know, you are your own worst prophet. I just want you to know. But anyway, so I finally am like, I think this is God, you know. And I better like put it back out there. And so maybe like I think a day before I was supposed to fly out, you know, we did all that. And then I went and God was with me and he showed me, Kathy, even if I call you to do something alone, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. And he doesn't see me the way that I see myself. You know, you can be frightened but not timid. And you know what that is? That's, oh God, I'm afraid, but I'll do it because you said so. Okay? So you just do it afraid. That's what I do. I get on planes all the time afraid. I just do it afraid and just know God's going to be with me. And then the neat thing about this battle is look at the objects that these guys are using in the battle. Okay, clay pot, a torch, and a trumpet. Now, we've seen the trumpets before. Anybody that knows the Lord and went to Sunday school, you know the Battle of Jericho, right? God's victory comes through the trumpets and the shouts, and they alternate between this. And then also we see that the torches in this battle bring confusion to the enemy. Like you can imagine this kind of battle. It's dark out there. You see these torches. You hear this crashing. You don't know how many people are actually out there. And then the Lord uses that effect to have them bring in confusion and set their swords against each other. But you know what's missing out of all of the items in Gideon's army? What's missing? Sword. They don't have any swords. Like, would you go to an army with no swords? But they don't have a sword. So basically what it was is the Lord, the weapon Gideon had was surprise and confusion. He had God. And I think for me personally, the takeaway for this is just like that word that was coming forth in intercession. You guys have a trumpet, and it's called your voice. And you have been called to trumpet the good news of the gospel and to declare the kingdom of God is at hand. And that is your trumpet. And with that trumpet, being those clay vessels filled with God's glory, you are going to destroy the devil and all his works and advance God's kingdom. And that's the takeaway from that. And that is awesome. And one of the last things we see in this battle that's so significant to me is that Gideon had to co-labor with the Lord, but he had no confidence in his flesh because now he wins a battle, but who gets all the glory? God. God gets all the glory. I mean, so many times I've just been humbled by the reality of, you know, just listening to Pastor Ryan pray about the building. And God, do something, something so radical on our behalf that only you get the glory. Like, it's not something we could even do by ourselves, but it would be something so radical that it would be testimony to everyone in the region that God did it and he gets all the glory. And I love that because here Gideon's in this battle and God gets all the glory. So let me just close with this. There are lessons in the story that I think are significant to Blessed International and to a lot of you right now at this moment in your life. First, God doesn't want you to see yourself the way he wants you to see yourself the way he does. Okay? A lot of times when you look in the mirror, we're like, don't you know who I am? You know, God sees you. He sees you in Christ. He sees you in Christ. And second, the victory always comes through obedience. Gideon and those 300 men were just obedient to do what God told them to do, and they had victory. And we can avoid those hassles if we'll just stop and listen to God and obey him and do what he says to do and then worship him. And when we do that, he gets all the glory. And third, I just want to encourage you guys, look for the encouragement. Look for the encouragement along the way to victory. And that's what Gideon did. That the Lord came in the midst of a struggle, in the midst of a battle, and encouraged Gideon. And we need to remember the promises that God has declared over our lives in the prophetic and over our church. We need to remember what he's actually spoken to our hearts. We need to remember, like Timothy, I exhort you to fight the good fight with the prophetic promises that were declared over you. Blessed International, I exhort you to fight the good fight with the prophetic words that have been declared over this house. In Jesus' name. And the other lesson with Gideon is Gideon was stripped. He was stripped of any possibility of his own strength and his pride. He was humbled, right? He was humbled. And humility is not the absence of ability, okay? Humility is the absence of pride. And he could not depend in any way on his own ability, and that was right where God wanted him. And God takes all of us there, because sometimes when we're exhausted in all the ways that we can save ourselves, it really crushes our pride, and we become broken before God. And now, God can use us in a powerful way, because now we can hold the glory and not steal the glory and not take the glory, but give it all to him. Amen? Because we really know, not that we read and we know, but we really know that apart from him, we can do nothing, right? And God's done this with people in the scripture. He does this with all his vessels and everyone he wants to use. He did it with Peter. I mean, Peter was a quick with his mouth, which unfortunately I can really relate to. But anyway, so he was stripped of his pride and broken, and he denied Christ. But then, when Peter was broken, God actually used him as a mouthpiece, right? And then there's the Apostle Paul. He was super educated, had a lot of knowledge, but he was stripped away. The pride, God left the knowledge, but Paul was broken, a broken vessel now, and God used him powerfully to lay doctrine for the church. God used him powerfully to church plant and reach out to the Gentiles because he was a broken, now yielded vessel, right? And this is the process that God is going to do with every single one of us, because he's going to fashion us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And so he's going to do this process. And last, we see here, you might feel like Gideon, 300 guys against this vast army. Maybe even today you feel defenseless. You know, you feel like defenseless. But guess what? You're not defenseless. The Lord is with you. He's with you. I love these scriptures. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And Jesus himself said, surely I'm with you always till the end of the age. So, church, go forth, you mighty women and men of valor. Amen? Because that's who you are. You're mighty in Christ. Amen? Short and sweet, I'm going to close there. Because I want to just have some time to also pray. I know that some of you are in the midst of a battle, a real battle. Things are happening in your family. Things are happening in your health. And God is doing something. You're in that place. Some of you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You're in that Psalm 23 moment. And I just want to encourage you that if you're in that place, and also if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, the one that apart from him you can do nothing, you need to know him. So if you haven't received the Lord, if you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I also want you to come up and just find one of the leaders who are going to pray for you. So I'm just going to close with that and give us, I know we're going to have extended time for prayer because I was kind of short, but that's all right, isn't it? Can we do that? Let me just pray over you and then we're going to have some ministry time. If you're in this battle right now, We're really believing God for breakthrough. And guess what? He's with you. And he is going to break through. I mean, I guarantee God is going to take what the enemy has done and he's going to turn it all around because that's what he promised to do. Amen? So if you're in the midst of a battle, we want to minister to you. But let's just close in prayer first. Father, I just thank you for this word. I really feel like this is a word from you for this moment and this time. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you are with us, that you will never leave us or forsake us. And even more than that, you go before us. And Lord, that you make a way where there is no way, because that's who you are. We thank you and we praise you, God, that you don't see us the way we see ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. You see us as your beloved. You see us as your children. Who you've given us direct access to you. You've given us authority over all the works of the devil. You've given us the power of your Holy Spirit. You've given us your word. And your prophetic word. We thank you, Jesus. You are all that we need. You are all that we want. You are all that we desire, Jesus. And we worship you. All the ways that you've been so faithful. All the ways that you've provided. All the ways that you've encouraged us. All the ways that you've delivered us. We worship you. We give you all the glory. And we say the battle belongs to our God. We thank you, God, for fighting on our behalf. We thank you, God, for breaking through on every side. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing. the glory. Lord, let it be said of this house, they always give you the glory. Thank you, Lord. Let's just do a worship song, and then if you want to come up and just worship the Lord and just give him glory, you can do that. Or if you need prayer, we'll have some people up here. So bless you guys. Thank you for letting me share that word.
Take it all. Take it all. Take it all.